And let me pray. Let me pray for us, Wick. We'll hear from Wick. Thanks. Father, thank you for Wick Jackson and just the impact he's had on the kingdom through you. Father, thank you for blessing him and his family. I just want to lift him up to you right now in this moment, Father, that you'll speak through him. Let us hear clearly the gospel message. Prick our hearts, Father. Challenge us today through Wick. I want to lift up Nancy Allen to you, Father. Heal her body.
Thank you. Yes. Am I on? Can you hear me? How many, was that too loud? I know for a fact that I'm going to say stuff that's going to bother some of you, and I don't care. You can talk to Brad. You can talk to Brad about that. I'm not going to try to bother you, but I'm sure I'll say something. In Florence, we just started back yesterday. We've been gone all this time, and you guys eat high on the hog here. We do not eat like this in Florence. We ate on styrofoam boxes yesterday, and it wasn't anything like this. And so hopefully Brad will invite me back. I like to always show some pictures. That's my wife, Cindy. And, yeah, she is very lucky. We've been together 39 years, and she is a good encourager, because yesterday when I was getting ready to go teach at the Bible study after being away for 5 months of us not doing it, she goes, Wick, she was in the bed working on a computer. She said, Wick, can I tell you something? I said, sure, babe, tell me whatever. She goes, well, you know, people hadn't been coming for about 5 months, and so they probably don't want to sit there a long time and listen to you talk. And so what that meant was, Wick, don't talk a long time. And I learned to understand what she means when she says stuff. Our latest thing is this. I know. Our little new grandbabies, our first two grandbabies, Ivy Mae Stewart, who was born August the 6th, and Olivia Mae Owens, who was born 3 weeks later. So our new little grandbabies. And so my wife is not with me now. She is down in Greenville in the Atlanta area, where she can go back and forth between the babies. So, you know, 39 years we had a good run. But those are the first two. Huh? I know it. I've lost her. She's gone. She's gone. I got everybody back home praying and crying.
As soon as those get big enough,
yeah.
You will be lost.
So those are the babies. And Cindy has told me, sell something, because we've got to buy a camper so that we can go back and forth to visit the babies. So I'm just telling you, that's the truth. When Brad asked me to speak the other day, I immediately thought of this verse, and we'll work from here, and I'll try and not be late. So give me your attention. Now listen, you who say today or tomorrow we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business and make money. Why, you don't even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogant schemes. All such boasting is evil. If anyone then knows the good they ought to do and doesn't do it, it is sin for them. Let's pray one more time. Father, I pray that you help me communicate what it is you want me to communicate to these folks. Help our hearts to be open. Help us to hear really, really good today. Help us to be changed when we leave here. Help us to use what you want us to understand and learn from Scripture. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Don't brag about tomorrow. gone but not forgotten. When I teach down in Florence, there's always a period of time where Brad's been there for a while teaching, and then I get up to teach, and there's always people that have left this place. Cedric Swoles, in the last, these people here, Cedric Swoles, Eddie Wilson, Robert Jewell, Charlie Key, all of these were good friends of mine. Three of them had cancer. One of them had drug issues. They're gone. But I remember conversations with these guys where we would talk about things we were going to do, how we were going to do it, when we were going to do it. They're gone. You guys know people around here that have gone. Did we have a chance to give the gospel to them? Two of those, I'm very confident in their relationship with the Lord as far as being a follower, a Christ follower. Two of them, I'm not so sure about their relationship with the Lord as far as being a follower. They have a relationship. We all have a relationship. Some of it is a blessed relationship, and the other one is not. Do you understand what I mean? Are y'all with me? In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land. So a man from Bethlehem in Judah, together with his wife and two sons, went to live for a while in the country of Moab. The man's name was Elimelech. His wife's name is Naomi. And the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. Mahlon's name meant sickly, and Chilion's name meant wasting. How about those for names? They were Ephrathites from Bethlehem, Judah, and they went to Moab and lived there. Now Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left with her two sons. They married Moabite women, one named Orpah and the other one named Ruth. After they had lived there about 10 years, both wasting and sickly died. And Naomi was left without her two sons and her husband. You know, right off the bat, you say, what's the big deal? Here's the big deal. Years ago when I was studying this, and my pastor was helping me do this, he was discipling me, and we were going to read Ruth. And he said, Wick, keep reading. Keep reading, keep digging. And the more I dug and the more I read and the more I studied, I realized there was a lot here that should have caught him off guard. This part here where it says there was a famine in the land. So a man from Bethlehem in Judah, together with his wife and two kids, decided to leave and go to Moab. Well, Moab wasn't a place you wanted to go live if you were from Judah. That was not a nice neighborhood. It wasn't a good move up. It was a bad move. Kind of like when Lot decided he was going to move near Sodom and Gomorrah. In the next sentence, he's talking about being in the city. But I'll just go near it. It can't hurt just to go near it. Well, this guy says, well, there's a famine. I'll just take my family and go somewhere else. The reason he could do that was because he was an Ephrathite. He was from noble blood. He had money. So he had money and he had the means to do it. And so he just said, I'll just do it. And they went to Moab and lived there. And they died there. I always wondered, didn't he have any friends he could talk to? Didn't he have any friends that he could say, y'all, this famine's really bad. I'm thinking about moving, me and the kids and the wife. I was thinking about moving. Oh, yeah, where? Moab. Oh, ooh, Moab. Are you sure? But when you got so much money and you got so much ability and you don't have anybody helping you make good decisions, you can make some really bad decisions. Don't say, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. I'll have a business. I'll do whatever I want to do. It's mine. Because you can lose everything. Obviously, God changed all this for Ruth, and God rescued it and used it in the history of Christ. But the story is still there for a reason. We have a famine in our land. Where's everybody going? Who are you talking to? What do you do when things turn bad on a dime? What do you do when things do not go the way we planned them? What do you do when we are blindsided? When we never saw it coming. My four buddies that have passed away within the last 3 months never saw it coming. They did not know the day they were going to leave here. But about the day or hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, listen to this, people were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage up to the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them away. How does that happen? We hear all the stuff going on. We watch the news, whichever news channel you want to watch. You probably watch way too much of it. If you've heard me here, you've probably heard me say, "Turn your stupid TV off." Listen. Years ago, we turned the TV off. And I still know what's going on because I hear all y'all belly aching about it. Well, I can't believe what this... Can you believe... Yes, I can believe it. People are crazy. Are they not crazy? And the door on the ark is shutting. And people are still getting married and having parties and doing whatever they want to do. And celebrating NFL and NBA and golf. And, oh, this is... What do we do next? Where do we go next? You're all a bunch of nuts. That is how it would be in the coming of the Son of Man. Two men in a field, one to be taken, the other one sat there. Two women grinding meal, and all of a sudden one's gone. But there'll be really, really smart magicians, really, really smart people that'll be able to explain to you what just happened. Oh, don't worry about this rapture thing. That was something to do with whatever. You better be reading Scripture. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know on what day the Lord will come or on what day you will leave. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what time of the night a thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not have let his house be broken into. So you must be ready, because the Son of Man will come when you least expect him. You must be ready. Christ's followers must be ready. We must be ready. Mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, have nothing to do with such people. Have a nice day. Is this what's going on now? If you can't see it, you're not looking in your Bible. You know that only 20% of people that claim to be believers read their Scripture? Those are the ones that claim to be believers. There's a ton of people that claim to be believers that aren't. That's why I kind of separate. I said Christ followers. You better be reading your scriptures. What has been a wonderful thing for me during this virus is the amount of time that I've had in the morning to read on a daily basis. And I've got a Bible that it tells me what day it is and when to read and where to read and how to read. I've never seen so much stuff that I never saw before. And it's exciting. I mean, I think, God, this is great. I never saw that. Like this one thing here in Acts 15. There's a verse that talks about when Paul and Barnabas were coming into the city and all kind of neat things were happening. And people were excited. And people were coming to know the Lord. And then all of a sudden in this verse it says, but there were believers among them that were in the camp of the Pharisees. And they went about trying to destroy Paul and Barnabas. What? Believers. I had to reread it. I said, what do you mean believers that did that? Yes. It's scriptural. And so when we think, how can they think that way? They claim to be believers. Well, there it is in Scripture. If it happened back then, why can't it happen now? Man, we better be paying attention. They are the kind who worm their way into homes and gain control over gullible women who are loaded down with sins and are swayed by all kinds of evil desires, always learning but never able to come to a knowledge of the truth. Just as Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses, so also these teachers oppose the truth. They are men of depraved minds who, as far as the faith is concerned, are rejected. Listen to me. Jannes and Jambres are talked about in the New Testament by name. But in the Old Testament, they were two of the magicians that came out. When Moses did his stuff, Pharaoh said, come here, boys. Show them something. They did the same thing. Magicians. Don't worry about what's behind the curtain. Don't we have magicians walking around today telling you all kind of stuff? Telling you what's happening? And you're looking at it and you see what's happening, but they say, oh, don't really remember what just happened. I want to tell you what just happened. We better be careful. Mark this, there'll be terrible times. What are we, Christ followers, supposed to do during these terrible times? Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus. That's what we're supposed to do. With all this stuff going on, no matter what side you're looking from, all this stuff going on and all this stuff being said and told, who did this and who did that, you better fix your eyes on Jesus. Because in a moment's notice, the doors will be shut and we'll be wedding and having parties and throwing up our heels and kicking around like nothing's happening. And it's falling apart all around us. And we can't even see it. We're caught up in all these arguments when we're supposed to be running the race marked out for us. Consider him who endured such opposition for sinners so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. In Florence, South Carolina, there was some years there where we had a rash of good Christian men and women taking their lives. This was years ago, and it's happening again. Because they're growing weary and they're losing heart. because they're looking at all this other stuff instead of fixing our eyes on Jesus. You better look the right direction. We are called to be living sacrifices. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform any longer to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds. That way you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Don't take your eyes off the ball. We have a race. It's already been marked out. It's been marked out by Christ and the great cloud of witnesses that have gone on before Him that gave their lives for this gospel. Not wasting their lives and their energies on all the other stuff going on. People are leaving. And they're going on. Some of them have heard the gospel. Many have not. We are called to run the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, considering Him so we don't lose heart. Where has the race been marked out? Let's look at Scripture. Therefore, go, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I'm with you to the very ends of the age. That's marked out. That is not a suggestion. Y'all have heard of the 10 suggestions? Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt... Those suggestions. You know there's also suggestions in the New Testament. Like this, where it says, go. Is go a suggestion or is that a command? I'll tell you what. When my daddy said, go, it was never a suggestion. I grew up with three other brothers. And my mom and daddy believed in capital punishment. Man. Go, make, baptize, teach. And you don't have to do it alone. He's with us. Don't be scared of all the people that jump in your face and want to fight and argue. And man, it's scriptural. They're going to do that. They hate you. Scripture says it's going to hate you. I don't know why they don't like me. I don't know why they don't like me. Because the Bible says they're not going to like you. Oh, that. Dude, if you read your Bible, it will open your eyes up to a lot of stuff. And you don't have to be a theologian. I'm dumb as a bag of hammers. But I know for a fact, when I'm reading stuff, and it's in black and white, and it says direct stuff, I don't have to wonder. I wonder what that means. Well, this means go. If you look that up in the Hebrew, it means go. Make. Baptize. Shouldn't be too confusing. Why should I bother myself with running the race? First, running the race is a command. Second, people are dying to hear the gospel. In Ethiopia, where we lived for 2 years, over 500 Ethiopian Christians have been murdered since June. This is just some of the facts, y'all. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. There's another one of those suggestions. Wick, I'm not sure if I like the way you're talking to me. I don't care. This is scripture. Adults, Christ followers. It's a serious issue when people are dying and going to hell. This is a very serious issue. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you do not know that testing your faith produces perseverance. I've got friends that are persevering in other parts of the world. I just spoke with my buddy, Johnny Marca, a pastor in Bolivia. 34 people out of his church of 300 have gone home to be with the Lord. His mother went away, his brother-in-law and his cousin during this virus. It's a serious thing. But the point is still, we got a race marked out for us. Let's not get sidetracked. 260 million Christians live in very, very high levels of persecution. 2,900 are killed for their faith in the year 2020 so far. 9,400 churches have been attacked. When I was in Sri Lanka after the tsunami hit, I was there 3 weeks. I never felt such a dark place in my life. And while I was there, Buddhist monks were beating to death and burning churches of Christians. 3,700 believers have been detained or arrested and sentenced to imprisonment. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you." And as the Father has sent me, I am sending you. I'm sending you, Christ's followers. I'm not sending the only ones that have the theological seminary degrees. I'm not just sending the ones that know a bunch of scripture. I'm not just sending the ones that smile a lot. I'm sending you. While Christian persecution takes many forms, it is defined as any hostility experienced as a result of identifying with Christ. How many people of you in here have had any hostility toward you because you've said, "I'm a Christ follower"? You're lucky. Praise the Lord. I think I'm persecuted when I can't get a good parking spot here at the restaurant. You will receive power. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. You know what the word witnesses means? Martyrs. You'll be my martyrs for this gospel. How many martyrs, huh? Martyrs. Again, in Indonesia, when I was there a couple years ago, I met men who've had their arms chopped off and been in prison and had family members executed in front of them. They're martyrs. Top five world watch list countries: North Korea, Somalia, Afghanistan, Libya, Pakistan. We have a dear, dear sister, Sylvia Koche. She is a missionary in Pakistan. She's been there about 8 years now. She suffered incredibly to be doing her ministry as a single woman in Pakistan. The abuse that she has gone through is indescribable. And she sticks with it. Given the gospel. And we get all caught up in all the stuff going on here. All wrapped up in all this stuff. When we got a race marked out for us, and we have examples of people who are living it out and giving their life for it. Around 80 people now in prison in Pakistan accused of blasphemy. In other words, they won't deny Christ. And they're awaiting execution or life in prison. It's incredible. Get involved. You. Get involved. Stay involved. Don't listen to all the junk going on around you. What's the race marked out for us as Christ followers? That's what's important. That's what's important. Voice of the Martyrs, Samaritan's Purse, Open Doors USA. Listen, get on your computers at your house, in your comfy chair, in your air conditioning. I'm talking to myself too. Google persecution. Look up some hard stuff. Read about some difficult stuff that's going on while you've ordered your pizza online and they're going to bring it to the door. And then say, "Lord, okay, what would you have me do?" Right now it's very difficult to travel. But man, I'm telling you what can travel is the internet. You know how fast I can send money from my house at my desk to my buddy Johnny Marca in Bolivia to help him with financial stuff for medicine? Like that. You know how fast you can do it? The same as me. I told you how dumb I am. You can get on that computer and you can change people's lives. Will you do it? Well, Wick, I don't know, man. I don't know. What else are you going to do? Okay, pray. Yeah, pull some names up. Pray for people around the world that are being persecuted or that need help. In Bolivia, people are dying in droves because of this virus. In Peru, the same thing. In South Carolina, we got an F for not wearing our mask and stuff. I hate those masks. I only wear it because people say, you got to wear it. Then as soon as I can, I take it off. Listen, y'all, we can be involved. I got one more little slide. Remember this. There will be terrible times in the last days. Remember that. But everybody read this with me because it's personal. I will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on me. So help me throw off everything that hinders me and the sin that so easily entangles me. And let me run the race with perseverance, the race marked out for me. How? By fixing my eyes on Jesus, so that I will not grow weary and lose heart, so that I will be God's witness in Jerusalem and all Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. And I must remember that God is with me always to the very ends of the age. We don't have an excuse. We don't have an excuse. We got all the opportunity, all the wealth in the world, things at our fingertips that can change people's lives in minutes. And I want to challenge y'all to do that. Don't take your eyes off the ball. Don't listen to all the stuff going on. Pay attention. Keep our eyes focused on Christ. And let's change the world. Can we pray? Father, thanks for a chance to get together and talk to people that you've sent me to talk to. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for Christ. Thank you that we have the information we need to accept Christ. Help us to be obedient and to do what's in Scripture to do. Help us to read our Scripture every day so we can't say we don't know what's going on. Help us not get involved with conversations that will go absolutely nowhere but in circles. As soon as we start reading Scripture, and as soon as we start bringing Christ into the picture, things change real quick. Help us to be obedient to Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank y'all.